Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us over your lunch hour today. I'm Joe Bender. I'm in for Neil today, and we are going to be talking parenting. We'd love to do this once or twice a month, just talking about how we can parent in the way that God would intend us to. And today, well, we're going to look at Proverbs 22:6, which says that we are to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. However, for a lot of Christian parents, we don't really know how to do this. In fact, it seems more like a pipe dream, but does it have to be? What if parents knew what to do and could kind of have a roadmap to know how to disciple your children? Well, it may be more doable than you think. Today we have one of the co-authors of a book called Dedicated, Training Your Children to Trust and Follow Jesus. And each of the three authors brings this unique perspective to this book. We have three authors who wrote this book, Jason Hauser, Bobby Harrington, and Chad Harrington. Two are pastors, one leads a discipleship ministry, and one is the product of a really well-discipled family. So we're going to get a great perspective from all of those authors in the book, and I get to interview just one of them today. So let me tell you a little bit more about him, and we will get him on the show. Chad Harrington is a writer. He's a redemption artist as well. He graduated from Asbury Theological Seminary. He shares stories of redemption at redemptionarts.org. And he's also the son of Bobby Harrington, who's the co-founder and director of discipleship.org and the lead pastor of Harpeth Community Church, who has been married for 35 plus years, and they have two children. Chad, am I right? He has two children, and you're one of them?
Yes. Yeah, my sister is Ashley.
Your sister's Ashley. Okay. And I don't mean it to sound like you're a child, like you're still a teenager. You're an adult. You're an adult.
Yes. Yeah, I'm 29. I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and I consider myself an adult. I hope everyone else does. But...
Yes. Well, our parents never really do that, do they?
Yeah. I'm always going to be my mom's son and my father's son. So it's been a fun journey to write this book with my dad. And with Jason Hauser, who is 14 years older than me, and then my dad is 14 years older than Jason. So it's a great perspective on parenting from three different generations.
It was great reading the book and reading about all of those different generations. But one of the things that you all have in common is just a desire to grow your children spiritually and to create a family that worships the Lord. And so we all want this, of course, as parents, but it seems like it's a big word. Discipleship is kind of a big word. How do you define that discipleship just for the purposes of your book?
Yeah, discipleship is kind of this big word. And the way that I think of it personally, and we get into this in the book, is it is following Jesus and helping other people follow Jesus. And essentially, that's where the subtitle of the book came from, which is training your children to trust and follow Jesus. And the reason that we say trust and follow is because in our culture, at least, we need to say that it's not just something you do in your heart, which is trusting. It's also what you do with your life, which is the following part. So discipleship in the home in particular is training your children to trust and follow Jesus.
And so a lot of people might think, well, maybe that's my church's job. Why do I need to do this? What's your response to them?
Yeah, I mean, yes, it is the church's job, but you're a part of the church, and you are the only one, if you're the father, you're the only one who can father your children. If you're the mom, you're the only one who can parent your kids as their mother. And yes, the church as a community is called to, as a group, you know, like has been said, it takes a village to raise a child. You know, I would say in the church, in the kingdom of God, it takes a church to raise a child. But the primary responsibility is on the parents. And that's the big paradigm shift that we want to communicate, is that it's not the church's job to raise your and train your kids. It's your job, but they're helping you in your job. So the responsibility is on your shoulders. But at the same time, I don't want to make it sound like, and this is what we emphasize, you know, it's God who is discipling them through you, which is just a joy and a delight to participate with him in that.
I wrote down a quote that you said in the book that kind of exemplifies that. You said you learned more from your parents at home than from the hundreds of sermons that you heard your dad preach. It meant something different when you heard it from him at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, my father is a great man. And one of the things that I love about him is that what he preached from the pulpit on Sunday mornings, and he's been a pastor since I was 1 year old, is that I saw it lived out in real life. And so, which is, I don't know if everyone who's in a pastor's home can say that. I only know my context, but I'll tell you, and this is just my message to parents, especially parents who are vocal about their faith, is that kids, you can't really fool us. We're going to catch on to whether you're bluffing or not. And if you're all talk, it's really just going to confuse people more. But the opposite is even more valuable and true. And that's that when your talk matches your life, then it makes your words so much more powerful. But I would say definitely seeing my mom and dad just living out their life around the home, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's where discipleship really happens. And so I love that you brought that quote up because, you know, you can preach sermons at your kids all day, but, like, discipleship is in the everyday practical things. Mm.
I remember teaching my child when he was about 5 years old. I just always have the statement, we are a family that forgives. And the reason I said that is because I just wanted him to know that if he messes up or a family that forgives, it's going to be fine. Anyway, I'd been teaching him that, and one day he stood in front of me, he stood behind me, and I didn't hear him for a long time. And then he finally said, Mama. And I turned around, he said, Mama, we're a family that forgives, right? And I said, uh-oh, what happened? But it was the first time that I had to put that into action when he told me what had happened and he had just broken something. And,
oh, yeah.
But it was that first time where I thought, okay, the things that I'm telling him, these are not only sinking in, but now I get to show him. And what a great opportunity and also a great responsibility.
Yeah, and that reminds me of kind of an ethos that my dad and my mom created around the house, which is, and they led by example, which is to say I'm sorry first, which is pretty unique. I didn't realize that not everyone did this, but if my dad made a mistake, for example, he would, like, even when I was a young kid, he would come to me and apologize to me. And I knew that that was always going to happen. Whenever the mistake was obvious, that he would come to me and say, I'm sorry. So, for example, if he said, you know, if he didn't say the right thing at the right time, he would come to me and say, Chad, I'm sorry that I said this to you. And then he would say, will you forgive me? And that really just created an atmosphere in our house that is still true today. Even, you know, because as you get older, conflicts kind of, they still happen. And now we all do what my mom and dad did, which is, we don't let conflict and distance in the relationship stay there. We now, as an adult, if I make a mistake and I do something to hurt my dad or my mom or even my sister, we all expect that we're going to apologize. We don't just let it linger. And I just trace that back to all these memories I have of growing up of my dad and my mom coming to us as kids and apologizing. Mm. So that kind of humility is huge. And that really just sets the tone for the whole house.
Well, I'm going to read Matthew 28:18 through 20, which, of course, talks about discipleship. And then I'd love if you would just turn that into how it applies to parents. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. So when parents read that, how can they put themselves into that call to go and make disciples?
Yeah, thank you for quoting that passage. You know, that's the heart of God, and it's the last message Jesus gave his disciples before he ascended to heaven. And so, you know, what more powerful words to remember about the heart of God? And so I'm not going to sit here and say that Jesus spoke that right to parents, but let me apply it to parenting, because I think in its literary context, it was used for the Great Commission to reach the world. But that Great Commission is a part of your call as a parent. So the first part is Jesus says, go. And this, you know, if we're going to apply this kind of metaphorically to parenting, it means being proactive with your kids. So a big thing that we hit on, Joe, in the book is that parents need to be intentional with their kids. In other words, discipleship is not passive. And this is huge for people who are, especially parents who are done, you know, with a hard work day. They come home. We tell parents, you know, give it 5 minutes with your kids. Push through, even if you're exhausted, tired, and you just want to watch TV. Be proactive right when you get home and set the tone and develop that relationship with them. And so that would be go. And then make disciples is kind of the overarching command in the whole Great Commission. And so that's your general job description is make disciples. And what that looks like, Jesus makes it really clear. He says, baptize them, teach them, and the promise is that I'll be with you. And so the baptizing part is really a prayer that you can start now. You know, if your kids are really young, depending on your tradition, you may not be ready to baptize them. So you can dedicate them at your church, whatever that looks like for you. But the prayer that you can have is that they would have a personal relationship with the Lord where they are converted in their hearts to submitting to the love and grace of God. So in other words, you can start the baptizing process no matter what age your kids are. And then the second part is train your children. And this is huge, and I'm glad, Joe, that you brought this up because it's not just in Proverbs 22, as you cited earlier. Training as a concept is at the very heart of the Great Commission. When Jesus says teach them everything, a lot of people don't read the whole verse. I don't know if I don't know which version you read, but it says Jesus says teach them, not just teach them what I commanded, but teach them to obey everything I commanded them. And that's a whole different lesson. And we can get more into that if you want, but kind of my point is you're not just teaching facts, you're actually training your children because you're teaching them obedience. And that is not just like something you can test out of in the third grade. it is a life on life, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional training. And parents get the opportunity because of all the time we spend with our kids to train them up. And then the last part is of the Great Commission is the comfort and the linchpin of it all in Jesus is, and surely I'll be with you. And in Greek, it's more literal. It's every day until the end of the age. And so the whole dedication is dependent on God's dedication to us and our power and everything about being proactive and going, baptizing, teaching. It's all dependent on the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ.
Well, I'm talking to one of the co-authors for a great book called Dedicated, Training Your Children to Trust and Follow Jesus, talking with Chad Harrington today. We'll be back to talk more about what it means to disciple your children. What does it mean to train them up to know and love and follow the Lord? We'll be back in a few minutes on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm just bebopping along to that song. It just reminds me of church camp from when I was little, and it's awesome. Thank you, Ted. Talking today to Chad Harrington. He has co-authored a book called Dedicated, Training Your Children to Trust and Follow Jesus. We've been talking about that big word called discipleship and finding that it's not that big when you break it down. And Chad was just saying that we break it down by saying we are to go, we are to baptize, commit our children, and we are to train and obey, and we are to know that Jesus is with us every step of the way. Chad, did I miss one of those?
You got it.
Yay! I'm a good student. I was listening. But it does sound like when we first hear that word, we get kind of intimidated because discipleship isn't something we use every day. However, teaching our children about things, that is something we use every day. And so when you were talking about your parents and how they kind of instilled some values and spiritual development into you every single day, what was one of the ways that you remember them just teaching you how important it was to know and love the Lord?
Yeah, thank you for that question. Again, my for those of you who are just kind of joining us, my dad is a pastor, and he's been one for 28 years. And the first thing that comes to my mind, Joe, is that they taught me to love God's word, and they trained me in that. So here's an example of what that looks like. I would come to my dad with a question, and as a kid, I had a ton of questions about life. And so first of all, he and my mom created a great atmosphere just where we could be ourselves and ask crazy questions. But as a pastor, he would always say, Chad, go get your Bible. Mm-hmm. Or I guess, you know, it wasn't just that he was a pastor. I'm just saying he would say that, and I'd be thinking to myself, oh, I have to go all the way upstairs and get my own Bible. And so I'd run up there, I'd get my Bible, bring it down. And you know, the question might be about, you know, tithing or something random. And then he would say, well, go to this book. Okay, I got there. Go to this chapter. All right. And read this verse. And then I would read it out loud, and he would talk about it with me. And then I would see my mom, you know, she'd be doing her devotions at the kitchen table and digging into the word herself. So again, I just kind of bring it back to, like, these are everyday situations, right? And those are the things that are really going to train your kids up. It's not just telling them the answer. It's giving them the tools and then showing them that it's real for you too. Mm. And those are just some of the memories about what discipleship looked like for me growing up in my home.
I remember my mom was very good about that as well. She taught me how to use a concordance, and then I remember her saying something like, there's an index of common words in the back of your Bible. Use it. So if I had a question about, I don't know, prayer, I could look up prayer, and there were at least 44 or 45, you know, different references in the back of my Bible, and then I learned to look those up. And pretty soon I would understand where all of those passages were, or maybe things that were tripping me up, or I'd hear something, and I'd know how to do it instead of running to her and just getting her opinion or her, you know, drawing on her knowledge all of the time. And it was a valuable skill that I still use today, to be able to look up for myself the tools that exist to understanding God's word more fully.
Right. And the whole point is not just to be the answer person. You are, as a parent, you are training your children to release them into the world. Mm-hmm. In other words, they need to be dependent when they're young on you. But the goal that kind of changes around age 12 towards more independence is that by the time they leave home, they're fully independent and self-sustaining and spiritually. And so I love that your mom, I mean, she taught you a practical tool. And essentially, like, you think about everything you've ever learned, Joe, and you learned it somewhere from someone.
Mm-hmm.
But we take that for granted with kids, that we just kind of assume they'll pick stuff up. And that kind of comes back to the intentionality thing, that just like a coach or a trainer literally kind of, not in a harsh way, but drills the people they're training, parents need to train up their kids consistently with repetition. So I'm sure that that wasn't only a one-time conversation you had with your mom about how to find stuff in the Bible.
No, in fact, at one point she didn't get tired of me asking questions, but she was intrigued with me asking questions, and she bought me a book called The Bible Question and Answer Book. And so, and I still have that as well. And so I think I peppered her with a little bit too many questions.
That's awesome.
But I still use that today. So it's very helpful. So do you find, or I read in the book that maybe you're finding that a lot of parents aren't, not only are they intimidated about training their children, but maybe they're just not making spiritual development of their kids a priority. Do you find that that is the case?
Yeah, and my dad and Jason can speak more into this because they've got a lot more ministry experience. But at 29 years old, having grown up in the church and now seeing things in the spiritual landscape of the church in North America from an older perspective, I can just see that discipleship is just not fully developed. Now, I just want to say, like, parents, if you're bringing your kids to church, if you are reading the Bible or praying with them at all, like, that is awesome. And you are on a great journey. And so all we want to do is encourage parents to dig deeper into what they're already doing. And so Jason Hauser talks about this thing called a family worship fingerprint. And it's finding the fingerprint that your family has uniquely to worship together. And he just encourages parents, look, if you haven't started with any, you know, worship together, and what that means is reading the Bible or praying together, even singing songs together, he's like, don't get overwhelmed and come up with this huge new program. He says, just get started today. Do something small. And over time, you guys as a family can grow into that. And so, you know, I think, Joe, to answer your question again, discipleship is not really happening in the home. But at the same time, I would, and I mean that, it's not happening fully in what it could. But a lot of people are starting to catch on to what that means. And so we're just trying to fan the flame of what God's already doing.
Well, the when you talk about just kind of getting started, that family worship chapter was extremely intriguing. And at first when I saw it, I thought, oh my goodness, are we going to need to sing? Because that works for a lot of people, but not necessarily everyone else. But that's not how it's defined in the book. Like you said, it's just finding a time to be able to talk about spiritual things with your kids. And that could be a long period of time. It could be a short period of time. Something that we did with our family is we have two books. One's a devotional book and one's American history, one page at a time. And so at dinner, we'll read one page and then just talk about that one page. Sometimes it's a devotional. Sometimes we're learning something about American history. And with both of those experiences, it's such a great time to just, our kids know it's coming. They learn something and then they get an opportunity to comment on something. And it's been a great short way to get our kids engaged in those subjects.
Oh, yeah. Joe, one of the greatest gifts my parents gave me was just the ability to talk about God outside of church. Mm. I didn't realize that people are uncomfortable with that until I started kind of making friends with people who, you know, were outside of my church. And I found that just being able to, like, literally talk about Jesus as a person and what God has done in the world casually is not common, but my parents made that common for us. And so it starts, like you're saying, with these simple little things like reading a passage of the Bible or a short devotional, and then, like we said, training your kids to be comfortable talking about it, not just listening, but verbalizing what they're learning and maybe questions they have. And it's incredible to see the kind of growth that comes from that.
Well, and to just ask, you know, where did you see forgiveness take place today? Or where have you seen this take place at your school? And get them to be able to contribute. So it's been really fun. Well, we have to take a quick break, Chad, but we are coming back. If you're listening along, you're saying, hey, I would love to get a copy of that book. Well, we have some to give away. Chad has generously donated some along with his publisher. You can give us a call. 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. And maybe you have something to share, something that's worked for your family or something your parents did for you that made an indelible imprint on your spiritual life. Well, we'd love to hear it. Give us a call, 877-933-2484, and we'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. It's great to have you here this afternoon. We're talking parenting and spiritual development of our kids with a book called Dedicated, Training Your Children to Trust and Follow Jesus. Three co-authors here, and we get to talk with Chad Harrington today. He's the founder of RedemptionArts.org. He speaks to the power of growing up in a family in which discipleship was modeled and taught by his father, another one of the co-authors, Bobby Harrington. He's Chad is a graduate from Asbury Theological Seminary. I'm not going to tell you where I graduated from because that would make that stumbling sound terrible. He's also the son of Pastor Bobby Harrington and one of the co-authors of this book. We've been chatting over the last half hour just about why it's important to spend the time to spiritually develop your kids. And now we're going to try to get some practical ideas on how exactly to do that. And Chad, you're such a great person to talk to about it because your parents modeled some of the things that you talk about in your book that are essential for discipling your kids. Can you talk about a couple of them? What things have been essential for you, and how can parents start applying those with their kids as well?
Yeah, Joe, that's a great question. And I really care about this now that I'm 29. I'm well out of my house. I'm really thankful for the way that my parents trained me up in the Lord in really practical ways. And so one of the ones that came to my mind immediately when you brought that up is that my parents had me memorize scripture. Now, they also had my sister Ashley memorize scripture. And I don't, sometimes I don't know if parents have the best motivation, incentives. My dad offered to pay me money to memorize scripture. He knew that I was monetarily motivated for things in life, even as a kid. But so I don't know if his incentive was right, but I will say this, that the end result was awesome because I ended up memorizing a lot of scripture before I ever left home. For example, I memorized Proverbs 31, mm-hmm. which is, it talks about a great woman who fears the Lord, who is worth more than rubies, it says, and who's difficult to find. But she, if she fears the Lord, is to be praised above all other women. And so just as a young, like as an eighth grader, memorizing a whole proverb about the kind of woman to look for has stuck with me. I literally, like with a little refreshment, I could recite it in the next couple hours if I went back and looked at it. And that kind of stuff, it just, it's like if you're talking about a business analogy, the return on investment that you spend with your kids and investing God's word into their hearts is incredible. And one thing my mom did that was awesome is she trained me to pray before I went to sleep. So, Joe, I don't know if when you get to pray with your kids, but the way my mom did it was really special. She would come in before we went to sleep, and she would tuck me in. But instead of just, you know, saying goodnight, she would just say, hey, real quick, what was the pit and peak of your day? And I thought it was a little cheesy, but what she was saying was, you know, what was the best and the worst time that you had today? And so what that did, Joe, was to create an atmosphere of relationship and trust where not only did I answer so that she knew me, but then she would answer and I would get to know her better. Mm. And then she quickly translated that relational connection that we had, and then we prayed about those things to the Lord, and then I would go to sleep. So what a great gift that a mom or a father could give to their kids than just to do the pit and peak and then to pray about it. And so those are just real practical ways that my parents invested into me and Ashley.
Well, and parents sometimes feel like they need this lesson plan to talk with their kids about Christ, but that's really not the case, is it?
No, I would say that, you know, lesson plans work for Sunday school, but when the kids are fighting, you don't have time to prepare, a lesson for them. Mm-hmm. It's life on life, you know, and you got to think on your feet. And that's where it becomes such a cool journey that's exciting because then you get to say, Holy Spirit, what do I do right now as a parent? I have no idea. And then, you know, and that's where we have this chapter called Dedicated to Jesus. And, you know, the whole chapter is about how the tone that you have and the closeness that you have with God personally will set the tone for your whole household. So in other words, what I'm saying is if you are locked in with the Lord and interacting with him, then when things that happen that you don't know how to deal with come up, you can be discipled by the Holy Spirit while you're discipling your kids. In other words, Joe, no, you don't have to have a lesson plan. You can figure it out with God as you go. And I think that that's super encouraging for parents because I think we all get intimidated by how little we actually know. And honestly, there's a lot of shame. Like, well, I'm not there yet. But the cool thing about the Lord is that he is way more gracious than we are, so.
Well, and if we waited until we knew everything to start anything, then we would never get anywhere with trying to teach our kids about who the Lord is.
Totally.
I'm trying to encourage my kids of that when I want them to try something new, anything new, is that you don't need to be proficient at it now. That's why we're doing it, so that you can become more proficient at it. And maybe we should start looking at things like prayer or memorizing scripture in that way as well. I'm not going to start them off with Proverbs 31 because it's long, but maybe the first couple of verses, right?
Yeah, totally. And kids are great for this. I mentioned to you earlier, Joe, that Jason Hauser started a whole ministry about memorizing scripture with your kids, and it's called Seeds Family Worship. And they have made 11 albums of worship music, but it's all the lyrics are scripture. And so, like you said, you don't have to go crazy and memorize Genesis. You could just take one verse, and he's designed, as a songwriter, he's made some great music, and you can sing scripture with your kids in the car or at home. And, you know, it's little tools like that, whatever you can get your hands on, and there's tons of tools out there. You know, just start today. Do something small. But again, I'll bring it back to you as a parent. What scripture have you memorized? And again, it's not about shame. Like, just go ahead and start. If you've never memorized scripture, you know, start with John 3:16. That's all good. You know, or whatever it is. The Lord, he is for you, and he will forgive your past, and he will encourage you to move forward because he loves your kids even more than you do.
Well, and it is, I'm not going to say it's easy, but it is accessible for parents to memorize a piece of scripture every week, because that's what our kids get when they come back from their Sunday school. They always have a little card. They're memorizing a verse for that week, and you can just memorize it along with them if your church provides that, or pick out your own. I mean, a very easy search on the internet would be, you know, top 20 Bible scriptures, and you would have very popular, very scriptures you can use in many instances, very familiar, and that would give us probably a great place to start without a ton of research.
Yeah, totally. And I think that you hit on something great, too. We have a chapter called Dedicated to Church, and I love that you brought up that, you know, it's good to sync up with what your church is doing because they're your larger community. So sometimes, you know, you need to set the tone for your home. Sometimes you just need to take cues from your church, and whatever they're asking you to do as parents, you know, you get the opportunity 6 out of 7 days to reinforce what they're learning in class. So that's a great way to start, Joe.
Well, and having worked at a church in the children's ministry, I can tell you for sure that we need your help, parents. We need your help because we want you to reinforce what they heard on Sunday and be able to use that same scripture, but also those same lessons throughout the week. I mean, how else is it going to really sink in? And so when we send home the cards or the flyers or put things online, there's a purpose for that, and that is so you can be engaged, because you are going to be far more influential than any person who works with them for an hour on a Sunday.
Yeah, totally. And I just want to tell you a quick story, Joe. This is how your example as a parent really matters for your kids. My dad remembers this story when I was like 3 or 4. And at the time we lived in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. But in the summer he was mowing the lawn, and I had a little toy lawnmower behind him, and so I was literally following in his footsteps as he mowed the lawn, and he kind of noticed that I was there, and so he turns a corner, and he spit to the side and just kind of carried on, and he looked back, and he saw me. Even though I didn't know how to spit at the time, I turned to the same side he did and acted and made the sound of spitting, and then I kept on mowing behind him, and he loves that story. But he was also super humbled by it, because he realized that literally sometimes every move you make, your kids will model after you. And he realized, man, I've got this incredible opportunity to form my kids as they grow up, not just physically, not just academically, but spiritually.
They are watching even when we don't think that they are. So what a great lesson to remember. What a great lesson to hear. Thanks for sharing that. You know, Chad, we have a caller who has sent in a question. He doesn't want to ask it out loud, so I'll do it for him. Here it goes. Okay. My siblings and I were raised in a Christian home, and my brother has strayed away from his faith in God as an adult. Will Proverbs 22:6 still come to be true in his life as his family members? Yeah. Should we just continue praying?
Oh, thank you so much for that question. And I, you know, you cited Psalm 22:6 at the beginning, which is, train a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And we wrestled with that verse, and here's my perspective on it. I hope that it's helpful for you. It is that it's a proverb, not a promise. And this goes back to the nature of God. God never coerces anybody, and nobody is a shoe-in into the kingdom of heaven. But I will say this, for parents who are wondering, well, what good am I doing then? If they're just going to wander away someday, it's a proverb still. Even if it's not this scientific process, the way that you train your kids will impact them when they're old, whether for good or for bad. Now, there's one story I remember of a girl who had just a grandmother who took her to church camp and taught her scripture. And she didn't remember any of those except for when she was a little girl. And the story is that she was going to commit suicide one day. And so she went to a bridge, and right before she was about to jump off, she remembered a passage from the Bible about God's love for her. And she didn't remember, she didn't even know it was from the Bible. She just had these words come to her mind. She got down and walked away. And later when she told somebody what those words were, they're like, that's from the Bible. And it was because her grandmother had invested into her. So to the listener who voiced that question, I will say that it's never something that God forces. Faith is never something God forces, and parents can't force it either. But when you model love and you teach what that love looks like, when people hit rock bottom, they know who to talk to, and they know that they, if you have shown love, grace, and forgiveness, they will come back with tears and an open heart.
Thanks for answering that question so much, Chad. We have to take a quick break, but we do still have a couple of copies of Chad's book dedicated to give away. If you would like a copy of that, or and listener, I hope that you will get a copy as well. I think Carissa has you set up for that. You can give us a call at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. You can call for a copy of that book. And also, if you'd like to share a story or something that has worked in your home or that your parents did for you that has really come in handy in developing your spiritual growth as well. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Crying. Thanks, Ted. That was just, I have a teenager this year, and I'm already counting down the years, and I'm past halfway, and I'm already sad. Stop it.
Sorry,
Zach. Chad, it's difficult because I think about what I haven't done yet, and then how many more years I have to impart everything that I feel like I'm supposed to impart to my child. Sometimes it does get a little panicky.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 29 now. I've been out of the house for 11 years. And, you know, here's the good news. If your goal can be that your kids will want to hang out with you when they leave home. So really, one of the things we emphasize is that relationship matters a lot in parenting. It's not just about teaching them to obey Jesus in some kind of rote way. You know, cultivate a deep relationship where you truly enjoy their personality and you bring that out and let them flourish. And then you let them know your personality and what makes you tick and what makes you different. And so, you know, one thing I just want to say to parents and to you, Joe, is enjoy it. You know, like you're saying, you've only got a few years. It is a delightful process because really Joe, what you're doing when you disciple kids is you are releasing them to flourish into the person God made them to be. And that is a joyful process.
Hmm. That's true. It's just a privilege and an honor to be able to walk through these years with my kids. And I'm so grateful to have it. And it does weigh on me a little bit. And I'm sure there are parents listening right now who it does weigh on us, but it also is just such a great opportunity to reflect what our parents have reflected in us and reflect that same love for God in our children as well. And so it's a challenge. It's a challenge for those of you who are competitive. Hey, it's a challenge. What can you teach your kids before they leave your house? I mean, that's a really great opportunity or a great way to look at it too. For those of us who are competitive.
Totally. Yeah. And one of the things you can do with your kids is, this is something I just kind of thought of, but, you know, I was telling you earlier that around 12, the dependency of your kids needs to start changing where it's about equal in terms of their independence. So that by the time they're 18, they can kind of rival you or compete with you with things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the cognitive ability alone of an 18-year-old is incredible. And so, yeah, I mean, hopefully your kids are going to start teaching you stuff soon.
They still do. They still do. In fact, one of the things that I had written down was just as I moved through your book, one of the chapters says dedicated to the kingdom of God and teaching our kids to think outside of themselves, which, of course, is a challenge when they're teenagers or even elementary school. They're so kind of looking in all of the time, but to look out and to realize what it is that we can do for our children to start thinking of how Jesus is working in the world, locally, nationally, or even globally. And you've suggested some ways that parents can do this for their kids. Can you just talk about one or two of them?
Yeah. And thank you for bringing that up. I love that our book kind of moves from parents to the kids to the church to the world. I mean, and I advocated for the chapter dedicated to the kingdom of God, because essentially it's not even about them being faithful church members. We are a part of a cosmic movement called the kingdom, and God is literally taking over every molecule of this universe to make it shine for his glory. And so in the book, we talk about just a really simple paradigm for thinking of what that looks like for parents in the home as you move out of the home into the world with your kids. And the first one is you can do it with your words. One of the things my dad taught me, and he's more of an evangelist than anything else, he taught me about evangelism. And so we did that together one year, and we went, like you said, we went to Mexico as a family. And I got to see how my parents interacted with the poor and what it looked like to share their faith with their words. The second would be, you could think of it in terms of work. And I would say that this is more physical stuff. And my parents did a great job with this. We did a thing called Meals on Wheels. Do you guys have that up there in the Twin Cities?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that like it was yesterday. I mean, we would go to a grocery store and pick up these hot meals and deliver them personally to those in the senior citizen home who couldn't get out and get food for themselves. And they, not only did we go with them, but they had us be the ones to knock on the door and to go into the apartment, give them the food, and then sit down and talk with them.
Mm.
And so I think of it in terms of your words and your work with your hands. And so there's tons of ways you can do that. And so our encouragement to parents in Dedicated is just to start somewhere. My dad and I went to a Billy Graham evangelism training together when I was in eighth grade. And then we did the crusade together. You know, whatever it is, you just start now. I mean, maybe it's once a year or in 2 months from now, joining with some nonprofit in your area to do something physical to help the poor. And that's something that my dad and mom dabbled in a little bit. But now that I'm older, I realize, and we've talked about this, I wish we would have done more for the kingdom of God outside of the home, outside of the church, for a lost and physically poor world. So just a few things that I would suggest.
Well, and if you think about how you bring hobbies or things that you want your children to love. If you love the outdoors, you take your kids to the outdoors. You may go hunting or fishing or camping in the Boundary Waters. If you want your kids to love football, you'll take them to some games. You'll explain the game. They might play the game. And this is no different. If you want them to love serving God, you will show them how to do that. And it might be in physical, or it might be in, you know, making sure they're tithing, or you're showing them and leading them along this so that they will make that a part of their lives. And sometimes we think it needs to be more complicated than that, but it's really not. It's just showing, reflecting our hearts and what we do so that they will then reflect the love of Christ in what they do.
Yeah, totally. The kingdom of God is a really exciting thing, because as you launch your kids into the future, you know, after they leave home, I mean, they could totally stand on your shoulders and do things you never even taught them, which is the whole part about training. And I just want to emphasize that again. It's the subtitle of the book, Training Your Children to Trust and Follow Jesus. And we really thought about that word train, because just like if you take your daughter to get piano lessons at the age of 5, or if you take your son to learn how to kick a soccer ball from starting young, or you know, someone struggling in math, you get a math tutor. All those involve intense training. And so how much more important is it to train your children to follow Jesus? Because it is, I mean, Joe, you know this better than I do with kids a little bit older. I mean, it is not natural to follow Jesus. Everything, especially in a 2-year-old's body, is like resisting, following anybody. I mean, it'll call them the terrible twos for nothing, right?
Right.
So, you know, we're training our kids really to deny themselves and to learn that God resurrects our bodies on the other side when we embrace death to self. So, I mean, that's... You know, learning how to play for Elise on the piano is one thing, but learning how to dedicate your whole life to following Jesus is a totally different ball game. And so I just encourage parents, like, this is consistent day in, day out, kind of like you're training an athlete or a mathematician, but we're really just raising up little disciples of Jesus. So.
Excellent. Well, Chad, I know we're coming to an end of our time together, and I want to give you a chance to tell our listeners about some resources that you have available through your website. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. There's one thing I want every parent to do right now, and it's go to dedicatedbook.com, because we have made available 10 free songs from Jason Hauser's Seeds Family Worship, and it is scripture songs. So he's a songwriter from Nashville, and he started Seeds Family Worship, and they have 11 albums. And we've made 10 songs that correlate to each of our chapters in the book for free, available online. So that's dedicatedbook.com. And they're really easy ways to kind of dig into having fun, you know, when you're on the road or at home, getting into God's Word together. And in our book itself, we've got a lot of resources for parents who are like, wanting to figure out how to do this whole thing. You know, if it's training, like, we need the right tools. And so we, in each chapter, we try and give some tools and just create a lot of resources. But, like, if you don't read our book, you don't go find something.
Just do something.
They're out there. Yeah. So.
Well, the book is great. The book does give a lot of great practical tips, things that are easy to follow from things that are a little bit more complicated. But the main, if you got any idea from today, it's to start doing something. Chad, we just thank you so much for being with us today, for encouraging all parents that they can and will make a difference by just doing one thing. So thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome, Joe. Thank you.
Have a great afternoon. You've been listening to Connecting Faith.